This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it very much. And it is a live program on August the 2nd. And yes, the year is rolling by quickly. August the 2nd already. So if you're listening to a replay show, you know what day it is. Lots of fires we've had in Colorado of late. And I've talked a little bit about that on my daily program, Rush to Reason, and you know where are these coming from, how are they starting, and so on. I'll get into a little bit of that today as far as the preparedness ends of it goes. And as I have time, I'll do my best. I also have somebody that sent me, great listener sent me, a 24, I think I added one, so I think it is 25, survival have-tos. In other words, these are things that you want to stockpile and have on hand. Not necessarily in a go bag, but just in general, I'll do my best to get to those. If I can't get to that entire list today, I'll get to it for sure by next week, but I will do my very best to do that, and we'll put links up to that either way. So I thought today, given that it's for sure fire season, there's one up here on the hill as we look out of the station window here, KLZ, look to the west, southwest, there's one that's definitely a lot more under control than what Charlie and I were watching yesterday. There is still a fire there, but it is much, much, much less than what it was yesterday. But this is a reminder, and for some of you that are on the west side, but really, you don't have to just be on the west side of town. Don't even have to be up on the foothills. Don't have to be in the mountains. We saw a good portion of, well, not a good portion, a lot of the Superior / Louisville area affected by fires just a few years ago. Granted, it was, you know, December and the wind was blowing super hard and all of that. But point being, fire can happen at any time. And I know that sounds kind of cliche-ish, but it's true. It can, especially now as we taper off into the, you know, latter part of July, early August, things start to dry out. It's not uncommon for us to have fires. Now, some of you say, well, you know, I'm in the middle of the city. How would that bother me? If you're in the middle of the city, probably not as big of a deal, although you get the right conditions and the right fire, and it starts even on one end of town, and it just keeps rolling along. That's what happened over in the, you know, Superior Louisville area. It took a long time for them to get it halfway under control, and by that time it had burned a lot of private property. I think, Charlie, was like 1,000 homes that were burned in that particular fire, so it was a lot. And I drive through that area fairly, you know, routinely, and it's a third, if that, rebuilt. It's very devastating. So what I thought we'd cover today, because I think this is a good thing to have, period, whether it's, you know, fire, flood. Some of you live in areas where it could even be, you know, really bad weather as far as tornadoes, things like that. There's an evacuation checklist. Actually, my wife found this and then sent this to me, so I did not come up with this on my own. She actually found this, and I'll just read through some of this, and I think there's some really good thought process that went into this. Now, each one of these, this particular list is divided up into how many minutes or hours in advance do you have? In some cases, you may be 2-3 hours out, you know, where they're saying, hey, you know, be prepared. You might have to evacuate. That could be a couple of hours, 3 or 4 hours out even. In some cases, it comes down to, you know, get out. You have minutes left to leave. So I'm going to kind of do this from the minutes to the hours, because let's get the things done quickly that you know you need to take with you. I talked, again, briefly on Rush to Reason earlier this week about some of these things. And the reality today, and if this is just before we get started, and I've mentioned this numerous times on this program, but digitize everything. Digitize everything. Meaning, if you've got important papers, important documents, if you've got pictures. Some of your pictures, by the way, may go way, way, way back. My wife and I just went through and did a lot of that here a couple of years ago, where we took all of our prints, negatives, things like that. We sent them off to a particular company. And if you want that name, you can text me and I'll get you the name of the company that we've used. The text line for those of you listening at any time, 307-200-8222, 307-200-8222. The main line here, you can call in and ask questions. Or add to the conversation to 303-477-5600. But I'm one where digitize it all. And the reason I say that is the last thing you want to be doing is grabbing picture books. That's just one more item to have to drag along and throw in the car that you don't need. I'm being very honest. In today's world where you literally can digitize every single thing you own, why? I mean, I've gotten into the habit anymore of if I need a copy of such and such, I just click a picture of it. I don't scan it anymore even. I just click a picture, it goes in my picture folder. Always easy to go back and find those. In fact, most of the modern phones and programs, I'm not sure, Charlie, if Google does this, but I can actually organize pictures into documents if I want. It knows whether it's a picture of a person or a document. It's smart enough now to know that. And I'm assuming, Charlie, as AI gets even better and better, it'll be easy for it to determine one from another. So even as far as the searching goes, I can search for documents quickly. That's easy. So turn your hard copies of things that you have now into pictures. You probably have most everything, or into digitized documents. Most of you probably have already done that. I mean, if you've closed on your house in the last even 20 years, most of those are digitized, things like that. But if you own anything longer than that, I would recommend even copies of car titles and things like that. Just go ahead and take pictures of those. Put them in a safe space. If you've got a fireproof area, fine. Not everybody does. It's not a bad idea to have. Although you look at how hot some of these fires get, and the reality is most of the fire safes that people would buy, the things that burned up in the Louisville fire, Superior fire, wouldn't have mattered. Wouldn't have made any difference. So first off, get yourself ready as far as that goes. That's just in general. Next, we're going to go 15 minutes to pack. So first of all, back your car in. Yes, I know for some that's a challenge. I have this conversation quite often with lots of people. Backing in has lots of advantages. It still amazes me when I'll see different people commenting on social media and other places. Why do these knuckleheads back in? Well, we're not the knucklehead. You are that don't. We that back in are much more prepared to leave than you are. And by the way, we are safer. First of all, it's easier to back into a parking spot than it is to pull in. And yes, it's a little, you have to know what you're doing, but it's not that hard. And then leaving is a piece of cake, and you don't have to worry about running over anybody or running into anybody when you pull out. Very simple. Everything's right in front of you. So in this case, it's their recommendation. Load the car facing out. Write names and emergency contact phone numbers on everyone's forearm. I never thought about that one. This is an article that I did not have prior. My wife sent to me. So write names and emergency contact numbers on everyone's forearm. Why? Because if something happens and you're stranded or you're passed out because of smoke inhalation or something along those lines, it's immediate that those first responders can see that right then and there. Makes it really easy. Heaven forbid you pass out and die. Even in that case, it makes it easier for the first responders. Critical medical items. Make sure you're packing these and taking them with you. Hearing aids, prescriptions, canes, oxygen, whatever you might need. For some of you, that could be a CPAP machine. Whatever you need to make it through, in some cases, it may be weeks, depending upon what happens as to what you just left. So make sure that you're dialed in when it comes to your and your family's medical needs, whatever that is. Sometimes we kind of take for granted that, I need this to do this with. Make sure you have that item. Next, pets, leash, and carriers. Yes, we don't want to leave pets behind. So whatever you need to take care of your pet, bring that as well. Cash, wallet, purse. For me, that's number one because it's always on me. But cash, wallet, purse. If you don't have that in a handy area, that should be something that, frankly, you just have handy no matter what anyways. Most everybody has an area in their home where those things go. If you don't, I highly recommend you do. That includes your kids. Next one, and this is one where I just said a moment ago, yeah, you could take these things with you, but if you've got copies, you're in pretty good shape. Birth certificates, passport. Even with copies, you can get a recopy pretty easy. Even the passport. You let them know that you're in a fire, you need it replaced, whatever you've got a copy of. It makes it pretty simple. But if you've got it handy, take it with you. That's kind of that to-go bag thing. Keys, of course, car, house, shop, safety deposit box. Now, once again, a lot of that's even changed. The keys to the car, of course. But even your house, work, and so on. I don't know about the rest of you, but I haven't opened the door at home with a regular key in eons. I changed everything over to digital locks a long time ago. I'm not using a key. I walk up, hit a button, and walk in. I'm not using keys. Even my place of work, same situation. I don't use keys anymore. It's all digitized, and off we go. So that's another thing you could do on the front side. But if you're somebody that still uses keys, yes, make sure you have those with you. Phones, chargers, and a power bank. I think if you don't have a power bank, that's one of those items today that I think is almost a must-have. If you get into a situation where you're just not going to be able to plug anything in to keep things charged up, have something with you that will. And there are now, because again of technology and where we're at with things, I mean, Charlie, you can buy very large ones for pennies on the dollar. They're just not that expensive anymore. Way cheaper than they used to be. At one time, a backup battery supply was $100 or more. I'm not joking. Now they're $25. Literally that much difference in price from where they used to be. So if you have a laptop, now I personally, this says computer and drives. If you have a laptop and it's easy to carry, sure. I'm not packing a tower up and a monitor and all that and hauling it with me. Sorry. That's where I draw the line. I'm not doing that. Nor do I think anybody else should. If you don't have your stuff backed up well enough on your computer to be able to access things after that tower crashes, you're not doing it correctly anyways. Or your desktop crashes. If you have to pack up your computer because you don't have everything backed up, then you need to fix that now. And that's easy to do. There's all sorts of ways to make that happen. And I know I sound a little harsh there, but honestly, we live in 2024. If you're still relying on things on your existing hard drive that aren't backed up anywhere else in the cloud, especially, I'm sorry, you're not doing that correctly. And there are plenty of cloud services that are secure that will allow you to store your things and have access to them again. You can even set up some offsite things on your own at your work or whatever. The chances of both things failing at the same time or having fires at both places is very minimal. There's ways to get around that, and I would highly recommend that. I would not be grabbing my computer and drives. Now, if you've got a little pocket drive or something that you attach to your computer or your laptop or whatever, fine, but a laptop's easy. Flashlight, headlamps, yeah, you want to be able to see. I carry a flashlight with me in my bag, actually a couple of them at all times, so that's just one of those things I just constantly have. Coat, hat, leather gloves, an N95 mask. You may want to have those things. Again, you're hopefully going to get out of there before you really need those, but you may find yourself having to still use some of those things. And I would say this, if you're very susceptible to the smoke inhalation, things like that, it really bothers your respiratory system, yes, you should probably have some N95 masks on stock, you know, on hand. Home insurance info, that should be digitized as well, so no need to carry that. And by the way, there's no need to carry that anyways. All you need to know is your agent's phone number. They'll have copies of everything. You don't need to drag out your insurance policy with you. This is one of those that I disagree with. No need to carry that. Your agent, just make sure you have that stored somewhere. If you have your agent's information, that's all you need. Frankly, if you have your company's information, and most of us do, they can look everything up by address. Not hard. So if you're with State Farm, for example, you would call them up on the telephone and give them your address. They'd handle the rest. American National Insurance, who I use, same deal. Call them up, give them your address. They're going to have all the other info needed. So no, you don't need to pack your policy. Deeds and titles, same thing. I just gave you the answer on that a moment ago. Take pictures of all that. You don't need to pack all that with you. If you have it handy and it's already in a go bag, fine. But I wouldn't be dragging all that with me. That's not necessary. There's copies of all those things you can get again if need be. Kids, special comfort item. Yeah, if there's a special blanket, teddy bear, pillow, whatever. You know, kids are already going to be going through a traumatic event as it is. And depending upon their age, yes, pack the things that they need to be comforted. Absolutely. That one I fully agree with. And then, of course, if you have little kids, infant supplies. Whatever your infant would need. Formula, bottles, whatever. Make sure, you know, all of you at that stage have diaper bags and so on. Make sure that's all packed up, ready to go. This, again, is the 15 minutes to pack and get out of there, meaning there's not a lot of time. And hopefully most of these items on this list you have really handy where this is a 5-minute list, not a 15-minute list. You've hopefully thought through things on the front side from listening to me in this program for enough time now to where this is a 5-minute list. For me, personally, this is less than 5 minutes. I have most of what's on this list outside of some pet items with me at all times. And I'm not exaggerating. I carry a computer bag that has all of my computer stuff in it. I've got some of these other items I just mentioned with me at all times. I've got a survival tool. I've got flashlights. I've got knives. I've got everything else I pretty much need already packed with me. Cash, wallet, etc. The pet stuff is about all on this list. And fortunately, I don't need anything to live. No medication. I'm very fortunate that way. So for me and my wife, literally, this is a less than 5-minute list. And it should be, by the way, for most people. The next one is a 30-minute list. I can go through this one quickly before we go to break. Tell non-local emergency contact that you're evacuating. Yep, if you know who to contact, and typically they've already reached out to you, it's 30 minutes to pack and get out of there, let them know you're leaving. And why would you do that? To let them know they don't need to check your house for anybody living there. Okay, you're gone. You're not there. Valuables or family jewelry. Okay, you got 30 minutes. Maybe there's some valuables. Keep in mind, if you're insured properly, these, again, are not items that you really need to worry about packing. Unless it's a family heirloom that's irreplaceable, you may want to go ahead and take that. But other than that, everything else is replaceable. Photos, including framed homed videos. No, this goes back to my last conversation. These should be digitized. No reason to pack up, framed or homed videos. Should already be handled. Done. You've already got that part out of your way. An address book, phone list, that should be in your phone. I know some people still use a paper calendar, and I don't know why. My business clients that I coach, one of the first things I try to do with them is to get them to do everything digital. Why? Because it's handy. You're not packing around an extra item. It's all right there at your fingertips. And believe me, with coaching and doing what I do, trust me, yes, that's better. I get arguments on that at times, even from my clients. Well, I just have always done it this way. I like the paper. I don't care if you like it. It's not the most convenient, nor is it the most time management-wise when it's all said and done. Digitize it. We have it. Use it. So I'm disagreeing on this one. You should have your address book and phone list already in your phone. First aid kit, fine. I'm not sure why you'd need that. There'd be enough emergency responders and everybody else around. We're not talking about bugging out because of an EMP strike. We're talking about bugging out because you're leaving your home behind. If you want to take a first aid kit, fine, but there'll be plenty of those out there in society. Again, that's not something I'd be packing with 30 minutes to go. This next one, yes, clothing for the next 3 to 7 days. Yes, absolutely. That one, yeah. If you've got 30 minutes, leave the first aid kit behind and make sure you got enough socks, underwear, and clothes to wear. Absolutely. Some deodorant and some personal items. Yes, I know you can always pick those things up, but much easier just have it with you. By the way, this could be happening in the middle of the night. So you want to make sure you've got things prepped and ready to go, because this could be a 2 a.m. list. Okay? Pillow, sleeping bag, blanket. Yes, goes without saying. A battery radio. Most of you are going to be in your car. Unless you're walking, I don't see the need for this one either. You're going to have access through your phone and everything else. We've already got chargers packed, power banks, and so on. We're not talking about an EMP strike. We're talking about evacuating because of a natural type problem going on, fire, flood, things like that. You're going to still have cell service and those abilities. So, again, I wouldn't pack a battery radio. You don't need it. A gas can, there'll be a filling station. I wouldn't pack that either. Again, this is a 30-minute list, and I don't know why you're taking a gas can unless gas stations are shut down. Even at 2 a.m., they'll be open. So I wouldn't waste my time with it, nor would I have a gas can. Most people now have SUVs. Very few people have trucks or cars, and some of you that have trucks even have shells and things on them. Last thing you want to do is be having a 5-gallon gas can sloshing around the back, stinking everything up, clothing, etc. So leave that at home. You don't need it. Make sure the tank's full. That's all you got to make sure you're doing. Drinking water. Yep, take some bottled water. That's something that you want to have. You might be spending the night in the car. You never know. Who knows how that's going to go? Make sure you've got some water. Absolutely. This one I already talked about earlier, irreplaceable heirlooms. And then this last one is cremains. If you want, I guess if that's, near and dear to you, if you've got a family member sitting on the mantle and you feel like you need to take them with you, more power to you. to each his own. I don't. I probably wouldn't. Again, if each person's different, each family's different, and you may want to do that, but I don't think that one's huge on most people's list, by the way, to be real honest with you. I've got another two to go, 1 hour and 2 hours. I still want to get into the 24 items that you need to have on hand at all times outside of this list. Again, there's a few things on this list that I'm going to change that I don't agree with because of some of the things I've already mentioned. We'll get into that as soon as I come back. Don't go anywhere. Ready Radio, our website, which, by the way, we can put this list up on, is ready-radio.com. All right, we are back. If you got a call for us, 303-477-5600. You can send a text message as well, 307-200-8222. 307-200-8222 is our text line. You're welcome to text us as well. And if you want to add anything to this list, feel free to do so. We would appreciate that. Is it Jim next? Jim, go ahead.
Hey, I gather this list must be based around fires.
I think this one's probably on fires. Fires or maybe even imminent flood, maybe something along those lines.
Okay. I'm going to say that can't be tornadoes, man, because I'll tell you what. Tornadoes, man, they can happen during the middle of the night. You could be sleeping, you wouldn't even know it.
No, you got like 30 seconds to get out, if that. You're heading to the cellar.
Right, but, you know, as far as on these fires, too, I mean, some of this stuff, I do things differently than you would do, too, John, because, you know what, I've been through two fires now. We had one out of my place last year. Got three of my buildings on my farm.
Yeah.
And that thing, I'll tell you what, that thing woke me up so much. And, I mean, I had that post-traumatic thing going on after that fire. I mean, all I could think about was my house catching on fire.
Sure.
And imagine. I'll tell you what, I went out and I invested in a nice, big safe.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I have all my valuables in that: jewelry, money, the electronic things that you're talking about, what you download all your stuff from your computer on.
All your jump drives and everything. Yep. Yeah. And I do the same thing, yep. Jim. That's exactly what I've done.
I've got everything. So that way, when I leave my house, all I've got to pretty much leave with is maybe just a few clothes and the clothes on my back, and that's it.
Yep.
Because I'll tell you what, we just had another fire out there that same day that assassination of Donald Trump had.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I thought my place was going to go out. It got 60% of my property.
Wow, that's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only really quick, for those of you listening, the only thing I would recommend on the safe, and a lot of people do this, I'm not saying it's the wrong way to do it, Jim, but I can tell you from the fires up in the Louisville Superior area that if you put that safe in a basement, keep in mind, everything from up above will now be falling down on top of said safe, so you better make sure that it's got as much fire rating as possible, because there's a lot of people up in that area that had, you know, gun safes, things like that in the basement, everything in them still ruined.
Yeah, well, I did. I got one of the top of the line safes. I spent a lot of money on this safe. It's not a really, really huge safe. It probably holds, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 guns.
Okay.
But the gun parts are irrelevant to me. It's all my other valuables that I can never get back.
Correct. Yep, no, I fully agree, and those are the things, and I do the same thing, Jim, and all I'm telling people is you may, you know, those of you listening, if you've got one in the basement, that's fine. Just make sure that you realize that it may not be fully protected. If you've got the ability to put that in an upstairs area, concrete pad, you know, barn, something like that, Jim, your chances of it, you know, if it going bad are pretty slim at that point.
Well, see, that's the thing. When I went out looking for safes, I started doing a lot of research online as far as the fire ratings and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And I can't believe, I mean, I wouldn't even begin to touch a safe that comes from someplace, not to speak ill will of Bass Pro or Cabela's, but their safes are not even close.
No,
to
no, no. You know, you've got to step up and get into, you know, the Fort Knox, you know, type or some of those types of safes are what you need to get into, Jim. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I got was a Fort Knox.
Yeah, I have had one of theirs for the last, oh gosh, Jim, I'm not exaggerating. I've had it almost 40 years.
Yeah. And so that's all I'm going to say to people.
Nope. And by the way, you can look at the safe, and you know what I mean by this, Jim. You know, how's it insulated? Does it have insulation around where the door seals for the, you know, for the fire protection like you're talking and all of that? And if it doesn't, no matter what they rate it at, it's not going to be near what they say it is.
Right. And, you know, here's another thing about fires, John, is that people, I don't think, really quite understand also about fires is, like, when we were out fighting our fire along with the firefighters and whatnot, the wind can change in a heartbeat, and it could be blowing one way and the next.
Absolutely.
Because we were literally running for our lives.
Absolutely.
To try to get back to our pickups because it was moving so fast.
Absolutely, Jim. Yeah, it's not like everybody thinks.
No. I really couldn't appreciate and feel the feelings I should have when the Louisville fires were good going on. But after I went through my one last year, my heart goes out to anybody.
Oh, mine too.
That has
I mean, after losing a home that way, Jim, and then I've had a fire in a business years ago. I mean, I've got very, very firsthand experience at all of this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't, but I do.
Anyways, that's all I wanted to put my 2 cents in.
No, Jim, I appreciate that. And you are spot on, by the way, when it comes to the safe end of things. And I realize everybody's got different budgets and so on. But I'm one, Jim, where if you're going to spend the money, spend it or don't. Just lock them in a closet because if you're not going to spend the money, don't bother.
Right, exactly.
So, you're not gaining anything at the end of the day. Thank you, Jim. In fact, you might be gaining some false security on things depending upon the safe that you actually buy. So, yes, if you're going to buy a safe for that purpose Jim's talking about, do your research and make sure that it actually does have the fire rating and will withstand the things that you're actually trying to protect against. John, you're up. Go ahead.
Well, you said clothing, the right clothing, too. Remember, you're going to be in a survival situation, even if it's at a shelter. So you need, you know, probably a little warmer clothing.
Yeah, you're not taking your, your three-piece suit and your loafers,
no,
John.
No.
You're taking whatever A would be comfortable. You know, B is going to, you know, satisfy through that shelter or a motel or wherever you're going to, you know,
right.
Could be a family member's house, whatever the situation. But yeah, make sure you've got practical clothing is probably the key there.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I was thinking about is, have a destination pre-planned. Like, say I got, you know, like in your case, you have children in the area and other family members.
Right.
So if I have to evacuate, I'm going to Richard's house.
Right.
It'd be in your case.
Yep.
Or in my case, it would be going to my cousin's house in Fort Collins. That's far enough away from where I'm at.
Yep.
To where
Good
I
point.
Don't think we the same weather emergency. So when you think about where you're going to go, don't immediately assume that you're going to go to a shelter because everybody else
and their dog's going there. So, yeah, no. That would, honestly, John, for me, just me personally, because I'm kind of a germaphobe in a way, last place I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, if there's nowhere else to go, and like you said, get to know, like, I know the local fire chief for our fire district here that covers my house. He goes to my church. But try to get to know a couple of people from the fire department and maybe have their number and say, hey, I got the order. I'm evacuated. You don't have to check
yeah,
my house.
Good idea.
And, you know, because people who live like me out in the middle of nowhere, there's going to be deputies or,
that's right,
you know, firefighters.
That's right.
That they're going to say, hey, you got to go check this. Well, if you could save them a trip to your place.
Absolutely.
And let them get to somebody else maybe. So, you know, just go somewhere or even like in my case, for me to head to Cheyenne, I have to go right by the fire station. I'm sure that
just
if
it's
a major emergency,
yep,
somebody's going to be there. I'll drive right in.
Good point.
And say, hey, you know, I've evacuated. You don't need to check my place. My dog's in the car. My wife's probably in Europe. No one, you know, she'll
right.
probably be at work. But the other thing is I've got a disconnectable drive from my laptop, so not everything's on the laptop.
You just drag that with you. Easy.
I mean, it's the size of an old portable Walkman CD player. It's a little thing, and it's got, I think, 2 terabytes or something
yep.
in it.
Yep, that's all you need.
You save the whole, you know, save everything in something like that, that if you got to grab it, even
yep.
if you don't have your laptop, you can get a cord and plug it into somebody else's at some point, or if you have to buy a new one. But there's nothing in your house that's not replaceable.
Absolutely.
Except your life.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
I had one other thing. You said you always have your wallet on you. You sleep with your wallet?
It is not very far away. Let's just say that. Well,
no, I know.
I'm one of those, John, that I've got things even, you know, you guys all know me. I'm pretty particular. I even know what I'm wearing the next day. So yeah, I'm one of those guys.
Well, and you know, I'm kind of the same way, just because in the morning I don't want to think.
Yep. I make that as easy as possible, John.
But yeah. The other thing,
and really quick, I'm also kind of one of those guys where rarely do I just take my clothes off, go throw them in the dirty clothes. I mean, I'm usually one where it's going in the dirty clothes the next morning. So if I have to put clothes on really quick, they're just sitting right there and I'm ready to go. So I'm kind of weird that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. But the other thing is, and you didn't mention it, if you're a contact wearer and it's the middle of the night, make sure you have your glasses handy.
Yep. Yep.
And that's, you know, that goes with your medications and stuff like that.
But absolutely.
Grab your, you know, because all of a sudden you're like, I can't see. Well, you should have a pair of glasses if you wear contacts.
Absolutely.
Not a bad idea.
And this is something to remind, you know, even me. I mean, even in my briefcase, I could carry a spare set with me. I should be doing that.
Yeah. And
wouldn't be hard to do.
If you have enough time, if it's in the 30, grab some foodstuffs, you know, whether it's protein bars or whatever like that. If you don't already have them in your go bag, grab a couple of that, because you don't know how long it's going to take you if everybody's evacuating to get to your destination.
Very true.
You might need a snack. And you don't know if it's been, you know, like, oh, I'm sure the places on the evacuation routes out of these fires that are happening currently, a lot of them are probably sold out of a lot of things because it's just, you know,
it's pandemonium.
So many people.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, John.
So then that brings me to one other thing that I talked about on EMP, but if you have one, grab your water filter. You never know.
True.
You know, and my water filter, you know, it's tiny. I mean, it weighs an ounce and a half. So just grab it. You can always grab a little bit of water. You know, if you're not sure it's clean, maybe it's in a rain barrel or something, then you can filter it or get it out of a creek or something that looks fairly clean.
Those are the easy things. Absolutely.
Yeah, because they're all little things. If you have a go bag, just throw it in your go bag. Like, my go bag is my backpacking backpack, because all those little things like that
are already in it.
When I go home, I clean them, I put them away, I get them ready for the next trip out. And it's already there.
Good idea.
And you didn't bring it up, but if you have one, bring your firearm, because it could be pandemonium.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but yeah, I've got that all the time too, so that one's easy.
Yeah, but there are people who don't always have
I know.
It, but if you have one, grab it.
Good point.
The other thing, if you're afraid of a firearm, go and grab yourself a can of either pepper spray or bear spray.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw one thing in there. If you're afraid of one, learn not to be.
Well, yeah, but they're, you know.
I mean, and I say that, John, just because, you know, we talk a lot of end-of-the-world scenarios on this program and so on, and the reality is in every single novel I've read, at some point in time, a firearm is going to get used. You might as well know how.
Exactly, but for the people who are afraid of them, bear spray or pepper spray will slow down somebody enough for you to escape.
True.
Especially bear spray.
Very true.
If it'll slow. There's not a human that's stronger than a grizzly.
Very true.
Well, John, you have a good
weekend. You too, man. Have a good weekend. You bet, man. Appreciate you, John. Have a good night. And I've got a few more things that I'll cover here. In fact, I can do a few of these, rattle these off. I think I can get the one-hour ones in before the next break. The hour to go. Now, again, I'm going to read you the list and tell you what I'm nixing, because half this stuff on this list, I've been reading through it, I would not take. It says, take photos of the contents of each room. You should have already done that. Take or safeguard guns or ammo. That should have already been done as well. And we just talked to John about that a moment ago. Special artwork. Yeah, no, that's insured. Leave it on the wall. Financial, medical files. Again, should already have digitized copies of all of that. You shouldn't have to worry about that either. Wills, powers of attorneys, and so on. Nope, same thing. You should already have that stuff digitized and able to get to without having to physically take that item with you. Genealogy records, same thing. You should already have all of that dialed in, and there's no reason to take that with you. It should be already in a digital format, and you should not have to grab that. Appraisals and receipts, same thing. Digitize it. You should not have to grab that with an hour left to go before you leave. A fire extinguisher? Sure. Throw that in the car while you're at it. A chainsaw, if you're rural? Sure. You may have to use that to get out depending upon where you live. School items? Yeah, I mean, I guess if your kids are in school and you need them to grab their backpack, sure. Have them grab their backpack and be ready to go. This one I could see. Military decorations, awards, and records, unless you've got a fire safe like Jim was talking about earlier and you want to grab some of those things and have them with you, most definitely grab those things, absolutely. Special diet items, yes. Extra eyeglasses, like John just said from Cheyenne a moment ago. Personal hygiene items, absolutely. You want your own toothbrush, toothpaste, and so on. Feminine products, yes. If your wife, girls, kids, whatever, absolutely, you need to take those things with you. Activities for your kids, yes, they may be held up in a shelter, as John just said a moment ago, or at a family member's house that they do not have those types of items. You may be going to grandma, grandpa's house. Who knows what the case may be. Go ahead and grab those things just in case. And then, of course, for your pets, take anything they would need. Their crates, their food, their meds if they need anything. Pack a few toys for the dogs as well. That's another one where you may want to just have a go bag for the dog. Dogs are pretty easy most times, and you know, cats, etc. Whatever you've got for pets, you want to make sure you've taken care of all of that. But as I said, going into that particular end of things, half of those I nixed because you should have already had those things done now. Not even having to leave the home. Just make sure those things are digitized and taken care of. We'll be back in a moment. Ready-radio.com is our website. This is Ready Radio, KLZ 560. All right, I think, too, Charlie was just talking in my ear. I think for Fix-It Radio tomorrow morning, we're going to be out at the car show up at the Jeffco Airport, which... That particular airport, Rocky Mountain Airport, they call it now. It's Jeffco to me still. But that airport that's up at WADS and US 36. And yes, the car show's still going on. There was a lot of questions about with the tankers coming and going because of the fires that they're fighting. Will the car show still be happening? Yes, we will still be there tomorrow. Yes, it's still happening. And you'll be able to see some of those slurry tankers come and go as well if you come up to the show. But I think on Fix-It Radio tomorrow, I will go through even some things you can do on your own home to be more fire ready, how to prepare for some of that. Charlie was giving me some ideas a moment ago, and given that I lost a house in a fire, I know a little bit about some of those things and what you need to be doing to clear some things out and be ready and so on. In some cases, there's absolutely nothing you can do when there's 100-mile-an-hour winds blowing through. No matter what anybody tells you, fire is going to do what fire does. But yeah, in normal circumstances, are there things you can do to be more ready for that? Yes, I can talk about that and will tomorrow on Fix-It Radio. It's kind of more for that program anyways as far as that goes. It applies to both, by the way, but I will definitely do that first thing in the morning. So those of you guys, if you want to tune in and listen to that, feel free to do so. All right, the evacuation checklist. We've now got 2 hours to pack. Again, I'm going to nick some things on this because these are things that should have already been handled even before now. Relocate or pack secondary vehicles and move them to a safe space. Yep, that one I can fully agree with. Absolutely. In fact, if you've got the ability and you own a couple of different vehicles, yeah, get them out of there. They're going to get potentially burned up, and they're a fire source as well. So if you can even move them away from your home before leaving, absolutely do so. You know, losing a car, a lot less expensive and hassle than losing your home. Cars are easily replaced. Go buy one tomorrow. That's easy. Getting a house replaced, whole nother ballgame. Cars are simple. So, yes, absolutely on that one. Pack these items in luggage. Yep, I'm not against that as well. Collectibles. Yeah, no. Sorry. Unless it's some heirloom like we've talked earlier where it just can't be replaced. Yeah, no. I wouldn't dink around with collectibles. Sorry. That one would not matter to me. Journals and diaries. Yeah, if you've written a lot of things along those lines, you don't want to lose them, and you haven't had time to digitize those. In some cases, you may not. Sure, go ahead and pack those. Valuable cameras. I'm not sure anybody owns much of those anymore, Charlie. If they do, they're going to have them with them anyway. So on the same token, if that's you, fine. Go ahead and grab those. Electronics and tools, maybe, depending upon how much you have and how much of that you can actually pack and take with you, fine. Camping equipment, okay. You may already have some of that with you given your time to bug out, and depending upon where you're going to go and stay, sure. Awards, okay, that kind of goes back to the heirloom thing, if you want to take some awards with you, although if you're one of those people that have the 500 bowling trophies, yeah, no, I'm not taking those. Maybe those mean something to you, but Charlie said the moose heads. Yeah, no, I'm not. Sorry, not taking that stuff. That's going to stay behind. If it's there when I come back, great. Otherwise, take some pictures and call it good. Christmas ornaments. Yeah, no. I'm not digging through Christmas crap to take that with me with 2 hours left. I'm sorry, folks. That one, there is not a single ornament that I own that has that much meaning that I'm grabbing it and taking it with me. If it's there when I get back, fine. If not, I'll replace it. It's sort of like the car. I can buy new Christmas decorations. Not a problem. So, no, I'm not messing with that. Ice and a cooler with food and drink. Sure, that one, honestly, that's probably one I would have packed even on the 30-minute to an hour one just to have those things with us, just like John and I were talking about a little bit earlier. Same with the non-perishable snacks. Yes, thank you. I already talked about heirlooms. Work files. If you're working from home, you should have all of that should be digitized and ready to go, and I don't know what you would have as a work file you need to take. Sanitizing wipes, that's a given. That one, by the way, is even in the 15-minute one. I mean, you should have some sanitizing wipes even in your 15-minute one. So, yeah, if I got 2 hours to pack, those have already been handled. General notes, evacuate livestock and vulnerable family members. Absolutely. On any of these levels, absolutely. If you can. I mean, even some of you that have horses and so on, and you got 15 minutes left, and it's gotten there that fast, at least open the gates and let your horses and animals out. You try to round them up later. We don't want them dying. Let them out. Constrain pets to be easily caught. Sure, your house pets, absolutely. Keep your neighbors informed. We just talked about that a little bit with John, and even some of the fire and emergency personnel. Absolutely. Make sure you know which direction to drive. Absolutely. Where's a map? Back to John's point. Where are you going? What is your route? Do not assume you'll have a chance to go back. Yep, that one I can fully agree with. You may not. You most likely will not. If you've had to evacuate, in most cases, unless it's a life or death situation, they're not letting you back. You're going to be kept out. So you're probably not going back. Imagine what you'll need for a week staying on a cot in a school gym. Kind of goes back to John and I's comments earlier. Absolutely. Plan. Where are you going? Who are you staying with? Are you going to be at a hotel? Are you going to be in a gymnasium? Where are you going? What are you doing? Dress to protect yourself from fire and smoke. That one's a little easier said than done. Most people don't even have what they need. If you live in a rural area, you might have already, you might already have that and know what to do along those lines, but most other folks, they don't even know what that means. Tips to prepare your home for firefighting, or for firefighters, I should say, as time allows. Turn off all the lights. Sure. Turn off your HVAC and gas. Yes. Unplug the appliances, if you can. Close all windows, interior and exterior. Again, yes. Open all your gates. That's a big one, by the way. If you live out on a ranch or a farm, yeah, open the gates so the personnel can get in and out faster. Absolutely. Place fireproof tarps over your wood piles, if you have them. Sure, some may not. Ladders in the front yard. Sure, I mean, they're going to have those that they bring on their own, but if you've got some and you can lay them out and it assists in the firefighting effort, go for it. Absolutely. Hoses hooked up with squeeze nozzle sprayers. Honestly, folks, they're going to have their own. And the little bit that trickles out of a garden hose ain't enough to bother. Trust me. Been there, done that. That one's, again, you do you. That one's not one I'd worry about. Move propane tanks, flammable explosives, and so on. Sure, if you've got a portable grill, something that's up against the house and so on, and you can move those things away, absolutely. Absolutely. By all means. If you've got that ability, absolutely do that. Get that stuff out of the way. Outside of that, I mean, even the outdoor furniture and so on, move that away because anything up against the house, this is some of the things I can add back into tomorrow's Fix It Radio. Absolutely. Outside of that list, biggest thing when it comes to these things, use common sense, which I know isn't as common as it used to be, but use common sense. I'll talk tomorrow on Fix It Radio about some of the things you can even do around your house to help prevent fire from getting up and against it. We'll talk about some of those things tomorrow. And you really, how should I say this? Take an outsider's view of your home. What does it look like when you pull up? Do you have trees, shrubs, things like that around your house that are a hazard? If so, get rid of them. Trim them back. Eliminate them if need be. Those of you guys that live in the mountains, put a buffer around your house. And it's usually a bigger buffer than what you think. And yes, I know a lot of people want those trees and things up close because they're beautiful and so on. They're also a fire hazard. Again, we're talking about protecting your home, your dwelling, and eliminating some of those things that might cause more fire by having it close. Now, I will also say, in a 100-mile-an-hour windstorm with fire going at it like we had in December, you know, when that was happening up in the Superior Louisville area, not much you're going to do there. You could have them all. It's just jump from house to house to house. Doesn't even matter what the shrubs are at that point. That's a whole different scenario. This is more for people that live in some of those rural areas. We look at some of the fires that have already happened or are happening as we speak right now. You know, absolutely. And I cannot mention this enough. This is something I should talk about on Drive Radio tomorrow. Have your vehicle ready to go. Prepped and ready to go. If you know you're in fire season and you're in a rural area, don't run around with a quarter tank of fuel. Always have a half a tank or more. Those of you that have fuel storage at your house, where is it stored? Is it out and away from things? Is it in the barn? If it is, you might want to move it out and about. Again, we're talking about if you've got time to be prepared before you evacuate, move those things out away from your home and your barn. If you can. Some people can't. If you can, go for it. Those of you that live in the rural areas know what you need to do for your own property. You've got even some of your own equipment. I would tell you that if some of that equipment is portable and you can move it out of the way, you can put it on a trailer and get rid of it, you know, rather than lose it, sure. I mean, anything, you know, yes, I know those things are insured, but anything you can do to make life easier after the fact, go ahead and do so. Some of you may have the ability to even berm up and do some things around your own property, clear out some of the brush and so on. If you've got that equipment, you should be working on that and getting it cleared out prior to a fire actually coming through. And again, fire moves fast. And some think, well, I don't have any trees or anything around the barn. Okay, what do you have? Brush? Do you have bushes? Do you have sticks and things that you've piled up? Do you have a bunch of grass and leaves and junk that maybe you've piled up in the field behind you? Things like that. And think through those things and what's that look like? And how do you eliminate some of those things? And then again, as I said a moment ago, try to make this as easy for first responders as you can. The other thing that I think is a good idea for first responders, it's not on this list, but if you've got the ability to put in, you know, bright colored, you know, construction paper, things along those lines, all pets, all people gone. You could put that right on the front door. You'll put it right on inside the glass window. All people, all pets evacuated. Yes, you're going to tell the authorities, but, you know, communication can get bungled at times. So instead of relying on the communication chains, you take a nice piece of construction paper, put right on it in a Sharpie, all pets, all people gone, evacuated. Guess what? They don't need to come in the house that way. They can go to the next house if need be. No reason for them to have to stop and look for anybody. We're talking about trying to help them save others. I had somebody earlier in the week texting me saying, hey, I'm kind of in this fire area. I can see the smoke. It's getting really heavy. If I spray down my house with my pressure washer, am I helping? No. Actually, you're not. It might help for a loose ember, you know, stray ember, something along those lines. Possibly. I'll tell you this. When the fire gets that close, it will evaporate that water, that little bit that you've been able to put on your home. It's going to evaporate it off so quickly that it isn't going to make a hill of beans bit of difference. My recommendation to this person was leave. If it's that close to you, leave. You're not going to fight your own fire. Leave and leave that to everyone else and make sure it's insured properly. And then hightail it out. That's my recommendation. And I said that to a person that texted in. So, guys, that's it for Ready Radio today. If you're listening to a replay show, this has been August the 2nd, August 2. So thank you all for listening very much. Our website, ready-radio.com. This is KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.